Well, good morning.
Good morning.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Amen. What is a joy to be here on this holiday weekend as many people are traveling to and from. So glad you're here. And those who are online with us today, thank you so much for being with us. I hope that you're all having a wonderful, I guess, is it Labor Day or Memorial Day? Labor Day. I get them mixed up. I don't know. I don't. Labor Day. Well, I have a few announcements for you. First, see, if it would have been written on here, I would have known it was Labor Day, but it wasn't. So a few announcements. We have the Mission of Hope banquet is coming up, and Luke 4:18 has sponsored a table there. If you are interested in going and being a part of that, it's October 4th at the grounds off of Cody Road. That's the fairgrounds called the grounds. If you would like to go and be a part, we've already purchased a table, so if you want to go, you can just go to the Go table and let us know. It'll be covered for you to go and see and hear about what the Mission of Hope is doing. It's a fundraiser banquet. That's the reason why we've already purchased a table. So please, if you're interested, go to the Go table and let us know, and we would love to get you involved there. Also, as many of you know, because it's Labor Day, tomorrow the office will be closed, and we will not have our Monday prayer time. So if you are one of those who comes on Monday for prayer, please know there will be no prayer time tomorrow. But that does not mean that you don't have to or don't that you can continue to pray at noon tomorrow. Also, our new members class is coming up on September 14th, 21st, and 28th. If you are interested, you can sign up at the No table, which is in our lobby to my left, your right. You don't have to sign up to come and be a part. But if you do sign up, that just helps us know how many people to be expecting. It's at 9 o'clock, and that's during the life group hour. So right in here, 9 o'clock, love for you to come and be a part, and that'll start on the 14th. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. Well, today is a big day. We're excited. Our kids have moved up from all the different classes. Our promotion Sunday was, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. And so today, we are going to present to those who are moving up into kindergarten Bibles for the first time, for them to have their first Bible. I want you to know Melanie is the one who usually is sharing and about this as we do this, but today she's sick. She's at home sick. And so, you know, Noelle has come on full time starting Tuesday, but now she's finding out that she gets to start today. So, Noelle, come on up. So we are so excited for Noelle and what she's going to be doing now as she's coming on full time starting Tuesday. And she told me today, she goes, I didn't know this was in the job description. And so she's learning real quick here at Luke 4:18. We're always flexible. But one of the things that I just want you to hear is that this is a day that we just celebrate milestones in the lives of some of our kids. As they are moving up in age, we want them to have God's word, and we want them to hide it in their heart, as the scripture speaks about. One of the things that Melanie did with these Bibles was send them home and allow their parents to write a letter in there for them. And so the kids will have that letter from their parents inside of here. Instead of just simply me signing it or writing a little note, this is going to be so special that their parents have written in this at the time when they were moving up into kindergarten and getting their first Bible. Also, this is a big deal because they're moving up and now they're going to be in family worship with us in here. So once they get to kindergarten, they begin to come into the auditorium. They're with us. So for those that are in here, I just want you to know there's going to be some nervous parents when their kids for the first time are coming in here. And let me just remind you, the first time you sat in and the pastor went way too long, you were probably squirming a little bit and moving around a little bit. Let's celebrate this with the parents. Let's walk alongside of them and just encourage them because this is a big, big thing. And so we just rejoice in what God is doing. So Noelle's going to call out the names, and we're going to have the kids come forward, and I'm going to hand them a Bible that's been signed by and written in from their parents. So,
all right, Clark Lanberry.
Come on up, Clark.
Autumn Gordon.
You want to go stand right there?
Harper Beasley. And Haley Pouncey.
So I want to just speak to y'all for just a moment, okay? I know that when you stand up here and you look out and you see all these people, it's nervous, isn't it? Just a little bit? Just a little bit? But I want you to know that all these people out here, they're all for you. They are 100% for you. And we pray that y'all will hide this word in your heart. I'll never forget what Brother Fred told me. He said, David, as long as you stay in this word, then you can never go wrong. So always stay in this word. Let's pray for the children. Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the gift of children, Lord, and the blessing. As the scripture says, children are a blessing from the Lord. And Father, I pray today over these kindergartners, Lord, as they continue to grow in you, Lord, as they continue to learn about your truth. Father, I pray that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that they would grow in you, Lord, that they would hide your word in their heart, Father. And Lord, I pray that as they come into here, Lord, that they would continue to hear your truth and continue to grow in you. Now, Father, I pray for their parents, Lord, strengthen them as they continue just to raise them in the way of the Lord, that they may not depart as they grow older. Now, Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
God is great, give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars, you can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to pray. King is coming back again, a reign of love.
Thank you so much, kids. I got to talk to them this morning, and it's so much more than just singing a song, isn't it? They are leading us in worship. They're saying our God is an awesome God. He's the one that we serve. If you notice the words of those songs, Phil Wickham added a little bit of context to "My God is an awesome God." He said that he created everything around us, right? And guess what? He created each and every one of these kids. And it is a blessing for us to be able to be on this journey of faith with them. I pray that each and every one of them would get to know the Lord at an early age. Don't you want that for them? That they would follow him all the days of their life? Give them another round of applause, yeah. And that's what we want at Luke 14 Fellowship, generational worship. Every voice to sing. And also, parents, you can receive your children out this way and in the lobby. If you need to go do that, grandma, grandpa. And then we're going to have them in the service today, just as Brother David told us. And that is going to be a blessing as well. Our God is the King of all, the Lord of all, and we give him so, so much praise. So welcome to worship this morning, as we've been worshiping all throughout today. Why don't you stand and we begin in worship and singing today. Majesty, worship his majesty, King of all kings. Let's sing together. Majesty. Continue singing today.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days.
Worship the King today.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days.
From every nation,
all of creation will bow before the Ancient of Days.
Every tongue
in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your
said that the Father is preparing a place for us in his kingdom. Aren't you glad of that today? Your kingdom shall reign.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory.
be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away.
Shall reign.
Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days, for none can compare to your matchless work. Sing to the Ancient of Days, your kingdom shall reign.
Have you ever thought about that? That our God, there's never been a time when he did not exist. He's the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. We're waiting on that day for our Savior to come back. Amen. Or he's going to call us home. If you're in Christ today, you have such a great hope, an eternal one that will not fade. Let's sing this doxology. Our whole life is praise today. Let's praise him together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim. Let's sing this together.
Let earth and heavenly saints proclaim the power and might of his great name. Let us exalt on bended knee. Praise God, the Holy
praise to the King.
Praise to the King. His throne transcends. His crown and kingdom never end. Now and throughout eternity, I'll praise the one who died for me.
Saying you alone are worthy. All the glory is yours. We worship you today.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. And Holy Ghost.
Ghost.
May be seated as we continue in worship today, as we just bear testimony of God's faithfulness. Ms. Donna's going to sing this great song for us.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never failed me. All my days have been from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
All my
every one of us can look back and see all the times when God was faithful. You can look back and say, only God could have done this. And there are so many things that I'm thinking about right now. But what about those times whenever you say, where were you? Where was God? This bad thing happened to me and I have no idea why or what's happening. In the darkest of nights, we know that he's right beside us. And even if it does go bad for us, compared to eternity, compared to being with our Savior forever, a small potatoes, you know, it really is. We're going to praise him. We're going to abide in him each and every day. That's what it's all about is, God, just let me see more of your goodness and your mercy and your faithfulness, and I'll give you my life. So we're going to end our time of congregational worship today by just singing this tag. You'll know it. Why don't you sing it with me? Better is one day in your courts. Let's sing it together.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere.
Sing it again.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere.
Let's pray together. God, you're our only hope and our only help. And you've given us so much. We thank you for our Savior, for his righteousness, Lord, for his goodness to us. We say today that we want to abide in you. Lord, give us the strength to live this life for you and not for ourselves. We pray that we would truly say that you're the one that hides us in the shadow of your wings, in the cleft of the rock, Lord. And that as we look to you, that we would just gaze upon your beauty and your mercy and your grace and learn so much about how to give that out, Lord. That we would live for you heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then live for you each and every day. I pray over these families that have had a child come up here and receive a Bible today. I pray for those children that they would know you as Savior, as soon as you would allow, Lord, for them to submit themselves under your authority. I pray that would be just such a beneficial thing for them to know you each and every day, to grow in you and have a family of believers that is guiding them along this way, and then for them to go in you to anywhere that they go, whether it be missions across the world, Lord, or right here in Mobile, Alabama. We give you our praise today. Amen.
I am Job, lying helpless, suffering loss, but not hopeless. I am David, crying mercy, Lord, on me. I am Elijah in a cave, dreading the light of day. And I am Daniel, humbly bound, faithfully. I am Paul in a prison, lifting praise to heaven. I am John, cast out but not down. I am Moses, seeking shelter in the cleft of the rock. Here I am, Lord, hide me again. I finally made it to the cleft of the rock. I'm glad, for I could know safe from the stranger, safe from the danger that would try to do me great harm. Now I'm wrapped up and warm in the love of my master. Now I'm resting as I lean on his arm. So I'll stay
have your Bibles, and I hope that you do. I'm going to make sure this is straight. There we go. And I hope that you do open up to Psalm 27. We're going to be in Psalm 27 today. As many of you know, the last 4 weeks we have walked through a short series on marriage. For those who weren't here during those 4 weeks, welcome back. I'm just kidding. Some of you will get that in a minute. But today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 27. Next week, we have we're going to be focused in on the legacy of the faith with Grandparents' Day. And then after that, I am going to begin an eight-week series on Malachi as we go to one of the prophets of the Old Testament. And so, and believe it or not, when that is finished, guess what time it is? It's Christmas. And so that's kind of the journey that we're going to be taking today. We're going to be in Psalm 27. The Lord I was doing my quiet time, spending time with the Lord, and just Psalm 27 just jumped off the page at me again. And I said, Lord, I believe that I need to teach on this in a couple weeks. And that day, that evening, I went to a baseball game, and the guy sitting next to us, we started talking, and next thing I know, like, he's a believer, he played baseball for years, but he had a tattoo on his arm that said Psalm 27, and I was like, okay, I get that, Lord, thank you for the sign. Many of you know Psalm 27, it's one that is probably dear to many of our hearts, but this is a psalm where David is writing either in the midst of a difficult time, or he's reflecting on difficult struggles that he has walked through. I want to just begin by asking, what are some of the difficult circumstances that you walk through in life? Just kind of dwell on that for a moment. I mean, I know that it's real easy for us to come up with multiple things. What are some of the enemies in our life? Maybe it's illness or persecution. Maybe it's fear of failure, fear of what people are going to think. Maybe it's fear of not being perfect. You know, all these circumstances, things that are going through our mind and our heart. And David is writing this passage. He's penning this psalm, reflecting on some of the difficult days that he's walked through. Over the last week, I've done some reading, and for some reason, multiple stories of World War II has kind of come up for my reading that the Lord just put on my heart. And I read different trials that Christians, born-again believers, went through during World War II. And one of these trials, one of the people and their journey kind of stood out to me. And it was an American missionary named Darlene. She was in New Guinea. She came to faith at a young age and married a missionary. After coming to faith at a young age, a year later, she felt called to be a missionary. Then she married a missionary. After some training, they moved to New Guinea. But when the war broke out, everything in their life changed. They found themselves being arrested because they were considered spies. They thought that they were spying on behalf of America. And they were placed in prison camps, her and her husband, which her husband actually passed away separately, apart from her, at another camp. In this prison camp, she went through unspeakable conditions. Starvation, torture, solitary confinement for multiple weeks, if not even months. But she stated in her journal that one key passage that helped her through these days was Psalm 27. And so as we look at this psalm, I want to just think about, like, hey, we go through difficult circumstances. We go through difficult times and all of this. But I want you to hear that one who was in the midst of a prison camp during World War II, going through some of the most darkest of days, through some of the hardest of times, was clinging to this verse through this chapter, that we too would cling to the verses of Psalm 27, 1 through 6. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. The war rises against me. In spite of this, I shall be confident." David says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, and that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices and shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." Father, as we open up your word today, I recognize that my words, my thoughts, and my opinions will not change lives, but your word will. And so, Father, today, put me on the front row and speak in and through, that we may all, including myself, hear what you are speaking. Walk in accordance with it. May we not just hear the words, may we believe the words. And may we live according to your word. So, Father, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I love, and many of y'all know Psalm 27:1 and probably have it memorized. I love how David starts this psalm. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord is my light and my salvation. I want to look at this for a moment. This idea of light, have you ever recognized that the Bible starts and ends with the understanding of light? Think about in Genesis chapter 1, when God created, it says in the beginning, God, he spoke, he created, right? And what did he do? He called out and light took forth. And that light, it encompassed the darkness. It overwhelmed the darkness. But then we said in Revelation 22 verse 5, it says that when we are with Christ for all eternity, there is no need for a light. Why? Because heaven will be illuminated from the light of God. We see that Scripture starts and ends with light. That light overtakes the darkness. Light is a reflection in some sense of God's holiness in this passage. Jesus is the light of the world, as we see in the book of John. And this light, it guides us throughout our life. Psalm 119, 105, one of the first passages that I ever learned or memorized. It says that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is a lamp. It is a light that is shining for us to walk in according to his ways and his truth. David doesn't just say that God is my light, but he also says he is my salvation. This word salvation is to be saved from something. It implies a rescue from a threat or a stronghold. Think about David's life. As he walks up and hears Goliath shouting at the nation of Israel and coming against the God of Israel. And David says, hey, God is our salvation. And he goes out with just a few stones. And by the power of God, God saves the nation of Israel from the Philistines and Goliath. What about the pursuit of Saul, or the pursuit Saul had on David? David is now called to be king, and Saul doesn't like it, and he's trying to kill David. But God is his salvation. He protects him from the hand of Saul. How have you seen God's salvation in your life, church? Yes, we start with salvation, as in when we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, when he saves us from death and brings us to life, when he takes us away from the punishment of sin and he calls us children of God, that he saves us from the wrath that we so deserve. But how often have you seen God's salvation in your life? Not simply just salvation from the enemy and sin, but salvation by protecting you throughout your life. I love what David says here, though. He doesn't just simply say that the Lord is the light and the Lord is salvation, but he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. If you're comfortable in writing your Bible, I would underline my in this chapter. Here's why. Because David is saying that this is more than theology. It's more than just knowing that God is the light. It's more than knowing that God is salvation. It is personal relationship with God that he says, he is my light. He is my salvation. He is calling out and saying that he has experienced this on a personal level. This is not just about something that he knows about. This is not intellectual knowledge. This is not something that you just write down on a seminary test in college. No, this is a personal conviction in his heart that he lives according to, that the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Church, can you just let that sink in for a moment? Let's do something here. Why don't y'all just join me in saying that? Let's just say that together. As David said, we're going to read that. And if you'll just put up the very first Psalm chapter 27, verse 1, just that verse. And we're just going to read that first line that he shares here in Psalm 27, 1. The first line that says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Let's just say that together. You ready? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Church, I want that to sink in your heart. I want this to go from knowledge to relationship. I want it to be personal inside of you. Because when you truly believe that, when you truly say, "God is my light," when you truly say, "God is my salvation," then you can say and boldly say, "Whom shall I fear?" God's my light. Whom shall I fear? God's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is my light. Whom shall I dread? God is my salvation. Whom shall I dread? Church, this is powerful. Why do you think that the American missionary said that this was one of the verses that she would recite and one of them that she would go to daily? Is because she's recognizing that in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the difficult situations, God is my light and my salvation. So what am I to fear about? Why do I need to dread? And let's just be careful, because this is not because of our strength that we don't fear. This is in light of who God is and that He is light and salvation. The second thing that we see in this passage is in verse 4. We'll come back to verse 2 and 3 in a minute, but I want you to see in verse 4 the one request. This one request that David has. And he says that I ask of the Lord that I shall seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, behold the beauty of the Lord, and meditate. The one request. Notice what he doesn't request. He doesn't request, "God, remove all of this." He doesn't request, "God, let me get revenge on my enemy." He simply says, "My one request is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." This idea of dwelling, to dwell, is this understanding of being with God in His house, to dwell in His presence. It's a foreshadow of 1 Corinthians 3:16 that says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you?" So he requests, he says, "Hey, in the midst of these trials and circumstances, in the midst of all of this, my request is that I would dwell with you in the temple with you." But church, so often when we know this verse, we kind of let that be the end of what we memorize. Many of you could say the request David said was that he could dwell in his house or in the tabernacle, dwell with Christ, God, all the days of his life. But we miss what he says next. He says that I may gaze upon his beauty. That I may gaze upon his beauty. And then he says, and meditate. It's not just simply being in the presence, but it's gazing upon and meditating on. There's been many times in my life where I've been in the presence of my family that I have not been intentional in those moments. Maybe I'm the only one. But I think that all of us can attest that there's been times in our lives where we've been in the presence, but we have not been intentional. Our minds are still running with so many things. Brother Fred told me one of the hardest things as a pastor is that when you're with your family, to turn off everything that's running through your mind and through your heart that you've gone through or counseled with or the message that you're preparing. David says, "Hey, I long to be in your presence and to be overwhelmed with your beauty." and to meditate on you. So in the midst of our trials, how do we do this? How do we gaze and meditate upon the beauty of the Lord? Well, first, we must take time with the Lord. The first thing he asked was to dwell. We must prioritize our time with the Lord. We must put the Lord first. I heard a pastor say one time that people used to ask him, his own children said, you know, Dad, you put us first before the church events and all these different things. And his children said, how did you do that? And he said, well, it was easy. I just got your schedules and everything and wrote it down first. So it was filled up. And then if there was other space, then I would put church-related things in. I think that we need to be that way with the Lord. Are we putting the Lord first in our life, saying, hey, I am going to prioritize daily dwelling with the Lord? The scripture says to be still and know that I am God. How often in this busy culture do we wake up a week later and say, man, I haven't spent time like I need to? One of the blessings of going to Zambia this past summer was to see how just slow-paced life was. Just slowing down. How many times in Scripture does God call us to seek Him? Well, I can tell you one of them. If you just go down three verses, Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Are we seeking, prioritizing, dwelling with the Lord? I love Jeremiah 29:11, but I really love verse 13. Because in verse 13 it says this, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Church, I'm just going to be very transparent with you that there are some days that when I go to seek the Lord and when I'm like setting that time aside, it takes me 30 to 45 minutes to get my heart even prepared to the place that I can begin to just breathe and just gaze upon the Lord. And if it takes that time, it's worth it. Not only do we need to make the time, not make the time, but prioritize the time. You can't make time. Not only do we need to prioritize the time, but second, we need to gaze upon Him by reading through the Word of God. Throughout the Scriptures, what do we see but the characteristics of who God is? To the young kids, children who just got their Bibles today, their first Bible, you have the words of the living God in front of you, and it will tell you and show you and speak to you about who God is. You want to gaze on the beauty of God? Dive deep into God's Word. Start a list in the back of your Bible or in the front of your Bible, and every time you see a characteristic of who God is, write it down. Put the verse next to it so that you can go back. When we gaze upon the words of God, we gaze upon His beauty. We see that He is loving. We see that He is gracious. We see that He is merciful. We see that He is compassionate. We see that He is just. We see that He is faithful. And listen, I could go on and on and on and on about the characteristics of who our God is. But it must start by prioritizing, dwelling with the Lord, and then focused in, gazing upon His beauty. How often, though, church, do we miss the best thing because we get focused on good things? How often is our life so busy with good things that we miss the best? David said in the midst of the trial, the one thing I'm asking is that I would have the best thing, and that is to dwell in your tabernacle, to dwell with you, to gaze upon you, and to meditate on you. Many of y'all know the story of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. And Martha gets upset because Mary isn't helping her with the chores, isn't helping her with the daily things. And she goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, Mary's just sitting at your feet. You need to tell her to get up and help me. And what does Jesus say? Verse 41 of Luke 10, but the Lord answered to her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Or I could say it this way, Mary has chosen the best. She has chosen to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. But how often are we like Martha? We get so busy. Then we go into trials and tribulations and we're like, why are we getting so beat down by all the stuff around us? Well, it's because we've been focused like Martha instead of being like Mary at the feet of Jesus. The third thing that he says in this one request is that he would meditate. That I would dwell in your presence, that I would gaze upon your beauty, and that I would meditate. Think about this. Meditation is a continual thinking on throughout the day, keeping your eyes on him, not looking to the left or to the right, allowing God's word just to marinate in your heart and in your soul. I've told people many times, I've said it from here, from the pulpit several times. Some of us want to just check boxes by saying, hey, I read today, so I read a few verses, check a box, I'm good. I would rather you find a verse, read until a verse jumps off at your heart, and you dwell on that verse all day long than just simply check a box to say, look at what I've done. David says, I want to meditate. Think on you constantly. Keep my eyes on you and not on the circumstances around me, not to my left or to my right, but I want to gaze upon you and I want to meditate on you. In Matthew chapter 14, we have an example scripturally, and guess what happens? But Peter sees Jesus walking on water and he says, hey, let me come on out there to you. Let me go. Let me come and see you. And Jesus said, come on. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I was in that situation, I probably would have been like, man, I was really hoping he would say, hey, I'll come to you. But he said to Peter, come on. And Peter gets out of the boat and he's walking on water. But then he what? He looks to the left and to the right. He looks and sees the winds and the waves and all the things around him. And he begins to sink. Why? Because his eyes were taken off of Jesus. David says, there's one thing I ask. In the midst of my trials, in the midst of my circumstances, you are my light and my salvation, and I have one request, that I would dwell with you all the days of my life, that I would gaze upon your beauty, and that I would meditate on you. I shared with you about the American missionary at the very beginning, and that how this passage meant so much to her. She gazed on the beauty of God rather than the circumstances around her. One day while she was in prison, she was given word that her husband had passed away. The commander of the prison camp called her to his office that day. And he tried to actually, in some sense, console her a little bit. He said to her, hey, I want you to understand that this is war. And the news that you have received is the same news that several ladies all over are receiving because of war. And he said to her, don't worry, one day this war will be over. You'll be able to go home and you'll be able, life will move on and things will be good. But the commander said to her this, and this commander was known for how ruthless he was. He even beat one person to death. But the commander said to her, please, don't lose your smile. Think about this for a moment. A commander of a prison camp is telling a lady who on that day has received news that her husband has passed away. She has been in solitary confinement. She has been beaten. She has been tortured. All these things. And he says to her, don't lose your smile, which means that through all of this, she's had joy in her heart that has showed on her face. How could she smile in the midst of all of this? How could she have joy? Because she continued to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Instead of gazing at the circumstances, instead of looking at all the things around, she focused in on the beauty of the Lord. When you go down to verse 5 in this passage, it says this: "For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In his secret place of his tent, he will hide me, and he will lift me up on the rock." We see that when we gaze upon the Lord, when we meditate upon him, when we dwell with Christ, or as we like to say here, when we abide, what do we see? David says, "God is my protection. He is my protection." Look at what he says here in verse 5 and then really back on into verse 2 and 3. But he says that the Lord will conceal me. He will lift me up on the rock. He will lift me above my enemies. Think about this for a moment, church. How often do we feel so beat down by our circumstances, our situations, all the things? And when we dwell, when we delight in him, when we see that he is my salvation, when we see that he is my light. Now, he is the light, but because he's in us, he is my light and my salvation. In this moment, we know that God conceals us. He lifts us up. He lifts me above my enemies, as David says in verse 5. But look back in verse 2 and 3. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh. That's an intense thought. My adversaries, my enemies, they stumble and fall. Though a host encamps against me, my heart will not fear. The war rises. In spite of this, I shall be confident. The only way that we're going to find confidence in the midst of our struggles is to dwell and delight and gaze upon the beauty of God. On that same day, the missionary, being confident in the Lord, not fearing those around, asked the commander, can I share something with you? The commander said, sure, and actually took a seat and let her take a seat, which was very unusual. And in doing so, she said, I don't mourn as those with no hope. And this is the same day that she heard about her husband passing. She said to the commander, I don't mourn, I don't grieve as those without hope. And in doing so, she began to share the gospel with him. In that moment after she shares, the commander ran out of the room in tears, not to return. How could she share the gospel in such a hard situation on the same day that she found out that her husband had passed away? Why? Because she was confident in Christ and Christ alone. Why? Because her gaze was not upon her circumstances, but upon the beauty of the Lord. Why? Because she was meditating on God day and night. Why? Because she was memorizing the words and placing them to her heart, that she would go forth in confidence and not fear, and that she could share the truth. The last thing that we see in this passage is verse 6. Look at David's response to the beauty of God and protection. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. It says, I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. David's response to dwelling in the house of the Lord, to gazing upon his beauty, to meditating upon him, and seeing God's protection over his life, his response was to worship. His response was to worship. Church, he says, I will shout of joy. In the midst of a difficult time, I will shout for joy. In the midst of heartache, I will sing praises to the Lord. I love the song that's out, and it's probably old now, but it says, I will praise you anywhere. I'll praise you in the storm. Listen, we can worship in the midst of the storm when we gaze upon the beauty of God. We can find confidence in the midst of the storm when we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. We can share the gospel with those around in the midst of the storm when our gaze is upon His beauty. Church, do you know that today you can worship in the midst of the most difficult times of your life? Because in the most difficult times of your life, God is still on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in the good times, He's the same God that we gaze upon and has not changed in the hard times. The joy that we have in the good times as we gaze upon the Lord is the same joy that we have in the most difficult of days as we gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And so David teaches us. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He says that in the midst of the difficult days, I request one thing, that I may dwell in His presence, that I may gaze upon His beauty, that I may meditate on Him, knowing that He will protect me. And in all of this, I will worship. I love the end of the story of this American missionary. Eventually, she is released from prison. And after being released from prison, she continued to rejoice and share about how God had protected her, how God had given her the strength, how God was her light and her salvation. But what's very interesting is years later, she found out that there was a commander from a prison camp who was now in Japan sharing and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaiming the transformation that had happened in his life. Church, I want you to hear. The world needs to know that in the midst of our darkest days, we still have joy and peace. The world needs to know that in the midst of our hardest days, that we do not fear. I'm not saying that we are prideful. We are humbled before the great I am. Our strength, our fearlessness comes because of who God is. The world needs to see that in the midst of the most darkest days, our gaze is upon the beauty of the Lord. So, church, I want to challenge you today. Do you prioritize the time in your life to dwell with the Lord, to gaze upon His beauty, and to meditate on Him? If not, you will continue in the same cycle that you find yourself in. Frustrated, worried, upset, anxious. But man, when you gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, you have peace that surpasses all understanding. You have joy that can't be taken from you. And the world will see something different in you as they did the American missionary. Because that was one of many who came to faith because she gazed upon the Lord.